Welcome to the Steady On Stronger Together podcast. I am your host, Angie Bauman. I am a details girl. Give me a project and I'm going to start breaking it down into small steps. Give me a deadline and I'm going to schedule time on my calendar so I get it done. I'm an Enneagram type 1 and one of my spiritual gifts is administration, so you might think that staying focused isn't something I struggle with. And you'd be both right and wrong. I'm not all over the place with my life, but I am all over the place with my life because in my desire to perfectly execute all the things, I can easily overextend and find myself darting here and there trying to keep the all the things balls in the air. So being and staying focused is a real issue for me because I struggle to remember instead of focusing on all the things, I need to pull back, listen, and focus on the best thing. If you identify with me in that, or if your challenge with focus is more of an I start things and don't finish them kind of obstacle, I think you will love my conversation this week with Rachel G. Scott. Rachel's passion is helping people walk in their purpose and assignment with focus. And in our discussion, she's going to give us 5 tips that she believes, and I happen to agree, will help us find and keep our focus. Let's listen in. Hello, Steady On community, and welcome to this Stronger Together conversation. I'm Angie Bauman, and with me today is my guest, Rachel G. Scott. Rachel, welcome to the Steady On community.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
I am so excited to talk with you. We're going to talk about staying focused. So if you want to tune out now, because you don't even want to know, it's so hard. I'm so excited to learn from you today. But Rachel is a writer, a speaker, and a branding strategist. Tell us what that means.
So a brand strategist is someone who just helps develop a brand. So essentially, you know, having your color coordinations together and everything that has to do with your brand, your logo, website, all of those things.
Yeah. In the digital world we live in, one of the things that I like, it's a compliment to me when somebody says, when I see your stuff, I know it's you.
Yes.
That's what you're talking about, right?
Exactly. Yeah. That's mm-hmm. it.
Yeah. 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 So, and her ministry is I Can't Come Down, which is helping women to walk in their purpose and their assignment with focus. And focus is what we're going to talk about today. Rachel wrote a blog post, I don't know, a while back, I came across it. 5 simple tips to help you focus. 5 simple tips to help you focus. And I thought, click. What do you have to say about that? So before we even talk about staying focused, maybe help some of us who struggle with deciding on like, what is it we should be? I don't like the word should. How do I say that differently? What is it that maybe is the right thing to be focused on? Do you have just some advice for us about that? What kinds of things should we be focusing our attention on?
You know, that's such a good question, because I want to say that it depends on the season that you're in. And in every season is going to be something different to focus on, but being aware that your focus may shift from one season to the next, and whatever it is that you're feeling this pull to, give your energy and your focus to that. And also, like, how can I put it? You're not in competition with the past. So What you were focusing on last summer may look different. Like one summer, I may be focused on weight loss, and the next summer, I may be focused on eating healthy. And it's okay that my focus before was weight loss through exercise versus eating healthy this month. I'm not in competition with that one. So that's a good question.
I like that. Now, and we're not in competition with the past. I think competition could be a detriment. No, that's not the right word. What it could be an obstacle to focus.
Yes, that's the word I'm looking for. Be an obstacle, mm-hmm. because we're looking at where we think we should be based off of where we once were, what we think we should be doing based off of what we once did or what we should have done in the past, when it may look totally different now for me to accomplish that same goal or a new goal or assignment, because I use the word assignment, a new assignment in this season. So yes, it can definitely be an obstacle if we're not allowing ourselves the permission to focus in on what is relevant for this moment.
Yeah. And I'm thinking about seasons too, because what I focused on, like even before I was a mom or before I was married or when I was working professionally in a different way than I work now, you know, so the seasons, as your life changes, so does your focus.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we tend to be very hard on ourselves. Yes. We just like naturally are hard on ourselves. Like, why am I not doing this? And I'm supposed to be doing this way. But when we know what we're supposed to focus on, and oftentimes we know what that is. It's that thing that keeps nagging us. It's that thing that keeps coming up. It's that thing that we know, okay, I need to get this done. That's where your focus should be. But then it's setting up boundaries and balance with everything else that's on your plate. Because really, when we talk about not being focused, it's really because of all the other things that are pulling for our focus, that are pulling for our attention, and the value that we're giving to each of those things.
And so how do we decide in any given season? You said it depends on the season. And I appreciate that because that gives us a lot of like maybe grace and room. Yes. But in the season that I'm in, how do you help yourself know what the right focus is for you right now?
I would say just taking some quiet time and writing things down and saying, okay, where do I want to put my energy? Like, where do I want to put my energy right now? Where do I need to put my energy? Where do I need to put my focus right now? There are some things that we don't have control over. This is what I need to do. I need to make sure that I'm taking care of my family. I need to make sure that I'm getting into my word. I need to make sure that I'm doing a lot of these practical things. But then these are the things that I'm feeling drawn to, and I have a desire to do. And I want to put focused energy on that, but it may not be the big picture. So for example, or someone that wants to do writing, well, I may not be able to come up with the whole process of like do the whole process of the book, but I may be able to start writing chapters, and I may be able to focus on writing chapters right now and not trying to figure out how to write the whole book. And a lot of times what I see people do is they don't start until they have this whole picture. They have this whole thing figured out, and it causes them not to focus their attention on what they can do in the moment currently, because they feel like, well, I can't do the whole thing. So I'm not going to do anything. And that's what we don't want to do. We want to know, what can I focus on in the moment and still begin to make progress forward.
That pushes on something inside me, because I tend to be a perfectionist, and I think my perfectionistic tendencies can create in me exactly what you're describing. Well, I can't do it all the way, or I can't do it perfectly or something. And so I don't start. And so there is this like nagging inside me that I'm pushing something out of my life, or not letting something in my life, or not spending time on something because I can't do it the way I think I should do it. Right.
Yeah. Okay. So from one perfectionist to one overcoming perfectionist, like I've got myself.
Right. Me too. I use that. Oh, I got an overcoming perfectionist. Yes. Some days are better than others.
Some days are better than others. I'm going to tell you, it's so hard to do that, because what tends to happen is we find ourselves in this place where we're constantly looking at this thing we're working on or this project. And we know we want to be beyond it because there's other things we have to do, but it's that perfectionist thing. However, the key to focus is knowing when to transition, when to move on to the next thing, when to move on to saying, I've done all that I can with this, and I want to transition to the next thing in order to really bring this whole thing together. I'm going to use writing example because I call myself a career writer. So yeah. A lot of the analogies I use will be that.
Sure.
But I used to teach writing and like how to self-publish books at libraries. And one of the things I would find is that everyone wanted to do these critique groups. And I love critique groups. Don't get me wrong. But I would find that people would be in these critique groups for like 5 or 6 years, and their book would never come out. And I'm like, I need you to make progress. The point in the book is that other readers read it, not just you in the critique book. But it can be easy because we're so focused on making it perfect and making it right and making exactly what it needs to be. And that's a good skill, but it works against us when we're not actually getting the content out there. So what I love to tell people is you have to continue to move. It's still a movement. If you're noticing that you're in the same spot and you're not making that movement, your focus may be working against you at that point. But the point and focus is to have tunnel vision. This is what I'm going to have tunnel vision on for this time until I make it through the tunnel. Okay. Because there's always a light at the end of the tunnel. You're trying to make it to that light. There's a light. Okay. I don't want you in the middle of the tunnel. I want you to get to the light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah. You know, and I just was listening just a while back to a training on podcasting, actually, Sherry Gregory, who does the Grit and Grace podcast with Amy Carroll, which is a great, she was doing a training on podcasting, and she is a perfectionist also, overcoming a recovering perfectionist. And she was talking about how podcasting, which is what you're talking about too, podcasting can't survive. She said perfectionism can't survive podcasting is what she was saying. And I thought about that a lot, because I thought, and I enjoy podcasting so much, but part of what I've had to learn to do is, if you're going to put out a weekly episode, right, then sometimes you're going to have to stop editing and push publish, right? I mean, you get to a point. And I hear that's what you're saying is, am I more focused on each edit detail, or am I more focused on consistency in my podcasting so that I have a weekly episode? And so there's a lot of decisions to make, which I think maybe is why sometimes we struggle to focus, right? Because we get maybe paralyzed by the decisions, which thing is going to be my top priority.
Right. And we're in this editing world. It's almost like you can edit everything in the world.
Yes.
And let me tell you, some good training for that is, I did a radio show for a while. And when you're doing a radio show, you're live. So any mistake you made, anything,
it's in there.
It's in there. And people have already heard it. There's no cleaning up after that. That's it. And so that's helped, because it's, you go in there, you know what your topic is, you know what you're going to talk about. And when you say something, you're like, oh, okay, well, this is what I meant. And you clean it up in the moment, and then you keep going with it. Yeah. But I knew, even in that season when I was doing the radio show, I'm like, I want to learn how to overcome this. Oh, what if I mess up? What if I mess up and don't say or do something right? And the radio show definitely did that for me, because there were times I was just like, what did I mean by what I just said? Okay, let me try to clean it up. Commercial break.
Yeah. And so what you can focus on getting better and producing something quality while you're actually doing something. And I think that's like a real gift, because we won't actually get better at something. Most things require actually doing it to improve.
Experience is the best teacher.
Yeah.
Like going in there and getting your hands dirty and messing up and deciding to do things differently.
Yeah.
It's the best teacher.
Yeah. So you write about how we choose if we'll be distracted or focus, since we're talking about decisions, like we choose this. And so how do you see focus as a choice? And what are some ways that we might be choosing distraction without even knowing that we are?
Because most of us know what distracts us. We know. I know that if my cell phone is next to me while my kids are talking to me, I'm going to half listen to my kids, and I'm going to take a moment and scroll, you know? So,
ouch.
I mean, it's the reality. And my kids, they'll tell me like, mom, you're not listening anymore. I'm like, oh yeah, you know,
you're right.
So we know what distracts us. So we're consciously able to remove the distraction. So something that I do now is, I have a home office, and when my kids get home, I leave my cell phone in the office the rest of the night. That's a choice that I had to make. Was it easy? No, because, you know, we're so accustomed to the notifications and the dinging, and I don't want to miss a message. But if in that moment my focus is supposed to go to my family, then I have to choose to remove the distraction that I already know is a distraction from that. I'm gonna give another example. It's easy to, I don't know about you, but I click back and forth for my emails while I'm working on other projects, right?
So yes.
I'm like clicking back and forth. I mean, it's normal that to happen, because you're multitasking. But when I'm trying to dedicate myself to focus on something specific, I remove all tabs. That's hard. Like, to get rid of all the other tabs except what I'm supposed to focus on. But I have to make that choice to say, in this moment, I have to give dedicated focus to this. And I know that having a lot of other tabs up throws me off. It's okay in some moments, but because I'm working on a book project or I'm working on a client's website or something, I have to focus on what I'm working on. And I have to remove everything else that'll be a distraction, because here's the other part to that is, it's taking away from time. So we don't realize how much not focusing is really taking our time that we can't get back. So now, instead of me working on this project for an hour, it took me an hour and a half, because 30 minutes, 45 minutes, I was like all over the place, back and forth.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. That's one of the reasons that I get up really early in this season of my life to spend time with the Lord in some Bible study and journaling and prayer time, because
it's really early.
So I'm down here at 5. So yeah. So I think that's really early.
No, it is really early because I literally this morning was talking to my friend about getting up at 5 o'clock. I'm like, I know it will help, but I'm just so tired.
Well, it does help. I'm telling you. Okay. So here's what I do. From 5 to 6, I'm down here and I spend time with the Lord. And from 6 to 7, I go to the gym and then I'm home by 7 to help get lunches packed and breakfast and get my kids out of the door, you know, like that. And that's my routine. And it's some days it is challenging, but both of those things, time with the Lord and time on the elliptical, for me are really important because they do something for my body and my brain and my heart and my soul that benefits me throughout the day and benefits my people throughout the day, right? Benefits my work. But I was just thinking about that while you were talking, because I have to make, like, that's a schedule decision. I have to make that a priority. If that's really, I didn't think about that until we were just chatting about that. That's something that's a focus then, right? That's something that I'm focused on. I realize the impact that has in my life. And so I give up something else. I remove distractions, and I cannot come down here and like open my email before I open my Bible, or right. I'm like sunk, right? Yes. Because then I'm like sucked into the work or something dings at me. So I don't even turn it on until after all of that, you know, after all that is done. So yeah, I think that's the kind of thing that I don't have that kind of laser focus on everything, but that's for
this season. All a work in progress.
I know that in this season, I realize how important both of those things are. And I've made some sacrifices to see those in my life. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I want to add to this. Part of the reason why you're doing that is something I like to call being present future focused. So a lot of times we're present past focused, meaning things that happened in the past determine what we're going to do now. So things that I did in the past determine what we're going to do now. But my life, my parenting, being a wife, being an entrepreneur has to be present future focused, which means right now I need to be looking forward and saying, okay, this is why I need to get up early in the morning, because I know once my day gets started, I'm not going to have time. I'm looking in the future. Or this is why I need to be focused today, because I know this weekend my kids want to spend time with me. So I'm being present future focused. And because of that, I can dedicate myself to something and say, okay, I'm going to focus on this. So a lot of times we're present past focused, saying, oh, I wish I would have done this, or if I had done this, then that. One thing I encourage people to do is to transition and become present future focused and say, okay, today I need to do this because tomorrow, because next year, because next month, this will help me to accomplish that.
I love that. That gives me chills actually, because I think there's a lot of power in that we don't think we have. I mean, sometimes we don't. If I look out and this is a goal that I have, whether it's like, well, any kind of goal, if this is a goal that I have, then to be willing to ask ourselves the hard questions, what do I do today in order to inch towards that, make that goal a better chance at reality, I guess, or whatever. But also the hardest thing for me, I don't know about you, is what do I have to say no to in order to say yes to that? Because one of the things that distracts me is all the good yeses in my life, because opportunities, invitations, good ideas, all those things, you know, I think about my own ministry projects. And one of the reasons that I don't have, I don't know. I mean, I put out quality stuff. What am I trying to say? I try to do too many things. I try to focus on too many things. And quite honestly, much to my dismay, there are only 24 hours in a day. And so I get frustrated with the fact that I'm like, this needs to be done excellently, and this needs to be done excellently. And I feel too thin, like spread too thin.
Right.
And it's because I won't minimize the distraction of too many yeses. I mean, I think that's a big one for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know, when you're a creative, which like I'm a creative, mm-hmm. my husband's a creative, we get these ideas and it's like, right now is the time for this great idea.
Oh my
like,
gosh.
Right now is
Thank
the time.
You for saying that out loud, because I'm like, oh my gosh, there's so many ideas. These all have to be from God.
All of them, every single one. And they all have to be for me, right? Like they've got to be. He gave them to me. They've got to be for me.
Today. I must move on this today.
And that is where the challenge comes in, especially when you're more of a creative and you're, you know, someone who that creativity is how you're led. Now, my husband, the difference between he and I is he's an idea person, But I'm an idea person that knows how to focus on one idea because I'm present, future focused. I focus on one idea and I'm like, okay, we'll go to the next one after we have finished this last one. And it drives him crazy. He's like, I got a new one. And I'm like, no. I can't even receive a new idea right now because he has way more ideas than me, way more. I'm like, I thought I was an ideal person until I met you.
Oh.
And I'm like, I can't even receive a new idea until I focus on this. But he has grown to love that about me because he sees so many things taking. He's like, Rachel, you get things done. And he'll tell people like, give her your idea. She's going to get this done for you. Mm-hmm. However, don't give her 10 because she's going to want to make sure that
she just puts up the hand. No more.
Mm-hmm. No more.
Yeah.
Because I love seeing people finish what they start. And people oftentimes they don't even know the value in doing that. Having like half done projects, half done ideas can make you feel like, am I accomplishing anything? And you've accomplished a ton of things, but they're not done because you focus on one thing. So, and sometimes you need people to come alongside you to help you. That's just the reality.
Yeah. Will you, for us, you have these five tips, run through these five tips that you offer that you believe will help us focus?
Yes. So the first one is to define your deadline. Whatever, again, being present, future focused, set a deadline for yourself. We're so used to setting deadlines and having other people set deadlines for us if you're working. But when you know that you've been given an assignment to work on something from God, then we need to define when is this being done, whether he's giving it to us, whether you're feeling like I need to accomplish this by this time, but define it and stick to what deadline you set. The next one will be to determine your destination. Again, where are you headed? Where are you going? What is the end goal of what you're trying to focus on? The next thing is set small wins along the way. Now, this one is a big one because when you are a person who just accomplishes things and moves on and you don't stop to celebrate, there's two problems with that. Number one, you don't realize how much you've actually done. And number two, you haven't stopped to give God thanks.
Oh, and that's
I'm telling you, for years, that was me. I'm like, oh, I've done this. And I would just move on, like, because there's so much other stuff to do. Like, this was just like
coming down the pipe so fast.
It's just coming down the pipe. Like, go on to the next single. And one of my friends stopped me and they were like, Rachel, did you celebrate that? I'm like, celebrate? Like, no, I mean, I just came out with this. It's, you know, just move on. I still have this. No. And they taught me to stop and celebrate. Mm. Stop and celebrate no matter how big or small it is. So when you're setting those goals and you're determining the path and you're setting where you're going, having those markers along the way to stop and celebrate allows you to say, wow, look at what God did through me. And then it allows us to say, wow, thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you that you accomplished this great work in me. And that thankfulness helps us. That thankfulness gives honor to the God who created us. So
it's almost like the celebration then is kind of, I won't say your words right, but the present, that it's the future focused, right? Because I think it would help me focus on the next thing more when I have basked in, if you will, the pleasure of God for a job well done. I think I neglect that. I know I do. I definitely neglect that. That's speaking to me a lot right now. Yeah. Yes, yeah. Love that. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it's normal. Like, we'll launch something and we're like, okay, it's launched. It's done. Whoo. Cause we're fine. We know the behind the scenes. So we're like, oh, that's
just
done.
Thank God. Yeah.
Thank God it's over. and we don't even think like, no, we got to celebrate that moment. So that's a big one. That's why I'm kind of honing in on that because
I love that.
I was so guilty of that for years.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next thing is there's times where we have to just stop and come back with a refreshed mind. That's just the reality of who we are and how we're created is we can just get weary as we're working and giving ourselves permission to say, you know what, I'm gonna stop this for right now and I'm gonna come back to it. I've written so many articles. Actually, I make this a practice of mine when I'm writing blogs. I write my blog on Thursday or Friday, and then I come back to it on Sunday because I want to see, okay, what can I say more and have a refreshed mind in reading it. So stopping and coming back to it gives you permission to say, okay, I've done enough work for right now. I'm going to come back to this with a renewed mind and see what I can do to make it better, to make it stronger, or to go ahead and click launch. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then the final thing again is to go, to get back on track. What I mean by this is life happens. It happens to all of us. Things can stop us. They can slow us down. They can deter us. But we have to get back on track because we have been given the assignment to accomplish that great work. Yeah. And it is so important for us to not allow those distractions and deterrences to remove us completely from the road. But it's a detour. I mean, there's detours. The other day I was riding down a very familiar street and a detour came and I did not know where I was at all. I mean, I had no clue, but I knew that at the end of the day, I still had to make it to where I was going. So I needed to figure out how to get back on track so that I could make it to where I was going in the time I was supposed to get there. Yeah. So detours are not an indication to stop. It's not an indication to no longer move forward. It's an indication to keep in my mind, having that tunnel vision that I still need to focus on where I'm headed to. It just might take, I just have to go a different route to get there.
Yeah, I think a lot of people can relate to that with everything that we've been through the past year and a half, because so many plans and events and goals and all that just kind of, they had to change. We had to adjust to that. And I think probably a lot of people are still feeling like, I'm not sure how to get back on track. I'm not even sure if the track I was on is going to, you know, be the track that I need to continue on because time has passed and things have changed. And so what works for you, Rachel, when you just practically, when you, what is back on track? What are some things that you do? Because we're all going to, we're going to do this and then we're going to not do it. Right. And we're going to fall off. We're going to life or it can it, or just like apathy or distractions come in, you know, all kinds of things. So when you realize that your focus has lessened, if you will, but you want to up your game again, what does that look like for you? How do you get back on track?
Oh, that's such a good question. One of the first things I do is I find accountability. I find someone to hold me accountable and I'll say, hey, I am falling off in this area. Can, you know, I just text you when I go out and go for my walk, or can I, you know, text you when I get up? And let's be honest, even sometimes getting our words, it like the seasons change. And I'm going through that right now where I'm like, okay, am I supposed to be getting in my word in the morning or at night? Like what's happening here? And or 5 o'clock in the morning, which is like, since you're like the fourth person to say it, I feel like that's maybe the direction I'm supposed to go. I'm just kind of resistant to it. Literally in the last 2 days, you're the, like the fourth person to say that.
Five.
But what I do is I find accountability. Yeah. I find accountability to get up, get moving and do what I need to do. That's the first thing I do. The other thing is really applying a scripture to help me. Every season, I'm like, some people get words for scriptures for the year, which I do have that, but I also find a scripture to help encourage me and to equip me to know like, okay, Rachel, you got to keep moving. You got to keep going. And you have the accountability, but definitely a scripture to hold me even more accountable to accomplishing the work that God has called me to do. And a lot of times it's a scripture centered around finish your assignment, work on your assignment, do what you have to do. Like, it's usually around that.
Get your butt in the chair.
Get moving. What are you doing? But, you know, I allow those to be my reminder because I like to give people this example of a CEO. When the CEO gives us instructions, you know, you're working and the CEO comes into the building and, you know, everyone is on their best behavior, doing everything perfectly, everything they have to do. If the CEO says, you need to fix that window, the window doesn't need to look that way, then guess what? Within a day or two, that window was fixed because they took that instruction seriously. God is the CEO and he is the ultimate CEO. I heard someone say recently, he is the chief everything officer. Mm. And so when he's giving me instructions, I have to take it so seriously as if he's like, hey, Rachel, I need you to do this. And sitting on it and delaying and letting detours pause me, I can't allow that to be a consistent reason why I don't move forward. Yeah. So having that perspective of who God is in my life helps me when I get those scriptures to get me back focused. Like, you know what, the CEO has given me instructions. Let me move forward.
If I'm really honest and I strive to be, I think sometimes when I let the distractions come into my life and keep me from focusing on the thing that God has called me to, because I think we both know how that feels, right? That thing that God has called us to. It's because, oh, I hate to say this out loud because it's gross, but it's true. It's because the thing that God has called me to is teaching me something about myself that's hard to see. Yes. Yeah. And so I try to get some space from it, right? Instead of trusting him and sitting with him, what I mean, even sitting with him, I mean, like while I'm working, but like allowing him to offer that instruction. Hey, it's the window that needs attention, right? That's the thing that needs attention, Angie. And to say, you know what? It's just too darn hard to look at the window. And he's like, I know. Let's look at, you know, and so, and he does that through my writing projects or what, you know, and however we're built, he, it doesn't matter what he's calling us to. He has things to teach us as he calls us. Cause he doesn't do it just, I don't know, to be like mean or because he doesn't like need us to do something. You know what I mean? Like he wants to partner with us because he has things to teach us too. And sometimes those things are just tough. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And there's this natural resistance to tough things.
Yes.
There's this natural resistance to
let's check our phone things. Instead.
Like this might be a little bit challenging. No, thank you. Mm-hmm. There's this natural resistance. But here's what I love is when I get to the other side of that, not only do I have a testimony for myself, but there's so much that I can share with other people.
Amen.
And I don't know about you, but I feel like so much of what I've gone through has, like, it was like a moment for me, but it has become transformational for so many other people.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Sharing my story and being able to help people overcome and get to the other side of things. So even this whole focus and helping people to focus on what God has called them to do comes from like a deeper story of seasons where I didn't focus, seasons where, you know, I knew God called me to do something. I didn't move forward in it. And then maybe I saw someone else doing the very thing. And I'm like, oh,
yeah.
Okay, God, mm-hmm. next time mm-hmm. I'm going to, you know, mm-hmm. so there's a story, but I had to endure some of those challenges.
Yeah. And I think, and that's what, when we partner with him, what he most wants to do for all of us in our own stories is help our lives or use our lives as an illustration of his redemptive power.
Yes.
That's what we all are. Right. And so will we allow our lives to be that, so that what you're saying is true, so that other people can see, oh my goodness, look at the work that he did in her. Look at the work he did in her. Look at the work he did in her. And in that, people, we believe better. When I know the work he did in you, I believe more that he can do a good work in me, right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. And here's what I want to say, even with that, this is why our focus on that and our focus on that assignment and our focus on that work in that season is so important, because distractions are often, there are good distractions and there are like distractions that are very clearly like, this is just throwing me completely off. But they can be a tool that the enemy is using.
Yes.
I mean, just being completely transparent that the enemy is using.
Absolutely.
Why would he care so much to distract us? Because he knows the value of focus. He knows even more than we do, like how important, if she focuses on getting this done, can you imagine mm-hmm. what they'll do? Can you imagine what they'll accomplish with this work? Well, let me distract them.
Yes.
So it just lets you know how great the work really is.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Oh, that's good. That's good. Hey, before I let you go, I love to share resources. And so would you give us a look into the life of Rachel? What is in your earbuds? What's on your streaming? What are you studying? What are you listening to, reading? What's on your nightstand? Anything like that? Is there anything that you're doing or using that's keeping you connected to God right now? Perhaps that you'll start using at 5 a.m. I don't know.
at 5 a.m. Yes. Oh, okay. So there's three things I want to share. The first one is I'm reading a book called God Generals. And I love this because it's really equipping me as a leader, just to kind of know how to walk through leadership areas, that because it talks about areas where these leaders led well and challenges that they ran into. So I love that book. The other one that I read is The Simple, I just finished and I love This Simple Life of Fred Rogers. Oh, it was so
was good. That good?
It was so good. Oh, it was so good. And then I'm not sure when this is coming out, but this book comes out in October.
Okay.
It's called Redeeming the Time by Jordan Raynor. And if we talk about focus, we have to talk about redeeming the time. It is, I'm on the launch team for that. And it's amazing. It is an amazing, amazing book that I feel like everyone needs, especially starting off their year or trying to just really get moving in what God is calling them to do is redeeming the time. So those are the books that I'm working through.
I love that. Yes. You're like most writers. You have several things that you're doing at the same time. Yeah. I love that. I love Rachel can be found at rachelgscott.com. Her ministry is I Can't Come Down. I will link all of that stuff on where you can find her and follow her. And I'll link the resources that she just shared in today's show notes. And Rachel, I can't thank you enough for spending this time with us. This has been just it's been challenging for me. I've picked up some nuggets, some things that I think the Lord just continues to call me to a more central focus on Him, and not just Him because, you know, I'm at a season in my life where my work is all about Him, but if I'm not careful, my work can be about Angie/Him instead of Him done by Angie. Do you know what I mean? Like, I can, it's absolutely. And so I just, He's refining that in me. And some of the things you've said have been really important to me today. So thank you very much for spending this time with us.
Oh, thank you so, so much for having me. It was such an honor.
Friend, until next time, thanks for listening. Peace. The nugget of truth from this conversation that keeps coming up in my walk with the Lord right now is Rachel's encouragement to celebrate the small wins. I am really, really bad at doing that. And the Lord is asking me to open up my heart to how my constant pushing and unwillingness to be satisfied with the little accomplishments of my days and weeks helps fuel the perpetual striving that brings exhaustion instead of peace. Thank you, Rachel, for that uncomfortable but incredibly important reminder. I hope you found a personal takeaway in her supportive words today, too. If you haven't already, I hope you'll subscribe to the Steady On podcast today. When you're subscribed, you'll automatically see the new episodes plus any bonus material. Thank you so much for listening. I pray wherever your day takes you, you're walking in the confident knowledge that you are a beloved, cherished child of God. Peace.